chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares. Nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco. Lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown. Mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones. Letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out our website, theantimedia.org, for all the latest and greatest anti-establishment breaking news. And we even cover some old stuff every now and then just to cover it because it needs to be talked about. I'm also joined by my co-host here, D.B. Schwartz. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well. I'm just been brushing up on my military know-how and trying to see what the state of the affairs of the actual technology is. And man, some of this stuff is mind-boggling. Like, I don't even know what will come out if things actually get really bad, because what I'm reading about is some crazy stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's just so many things going on right now in the world and in this country even. And, you know, I guess it's up to us to try to figure out, you know, what's going on, what can we do about it, where can we help, what can we do, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Because I've read even stuff about how immediately after World War II, our boundaries are being drawn. And a lot of people always ask, why after the 50s was there this stop in underground shelter building? Because on the West Coast, like, Nick, have you ever seen a building where you can go underground? Like, to get away from a nuke attempt? The answer is no, because what happened was, as far back as the 50s, the Russians had missile technology so advanced that it would literally hit without us being able to get anybody down, and you can imagine what they have now. And what we have, of course, is drones and miniaturization and robotics and whatever we have biologically cooking and ray guns and x-rays. We're so far ahead. I found out we even have rail guns that shoot EMP rounds, meaning that if they miss, or even if they hit and kill somebody, they're going to create a little pulse the whole way along and knock out all kinds of electronic goodies.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yep. So, I mean, the things we're dealing with now are they're so far beyond what people probably can even imagine.
Yeah, and you know, we get a little bit of a taste of it here and there, a little leak here and there, but the stuff that we see come out in the news or come out on YouTube or on TV or whatever, it's always years and years and years behind what is actually going on. And you know, now the government is officially acknowledging Area 51 and all this stuff. Well, yeah, that's probably because they don't even use it anymore.
Well, we're actually going to start using our UFOs soon, I think. And we're maybe even going to use our helicarriers or whatever the hell they've been trying to invent in Captain America style. I mean, if we have to pull the big guns out fighting the only two threats we have, then it's going to happen regardless, you know. I anticipate some futuristic stuff that's going to boggle the mind, possibly being put into play. And, man, you don't false flag. If you're as a government start a war against the two other superpowers in the world and bust out stuff that's sci-fi, is anybody gonna complain anymore about anything? I don't think so.
Yeah, man. And, you know, here's one thing that we haven't really touched on very much. And we had an article on it on the anti-media like 2 weeks ago before the mainstream started jumping all over this thing about this Boko Haram thing. These girls that got kidnapped over in Nigeria, about 300 young girls by this supposedly radical Islam guy. Now, you know, here's the thing, and I just saw a picture with Michelle Obama that she, you know, she drew the hashtag out on her thing, took a picture of it, put it on Instagram or whatever, you know. Here's the thing about this Nigerian situation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. We got to speak out against this thing and try to get something done, but by no means does that mean that we're trying to get troops being sent into Nigeria to go fight these terrorists.
It's too late for that already because our special forces are already there.
Well, yeah, they're already in there training these guys, and who knows what else they're doing. But
yeah, it's the next. It's AFRICOM, man. You're gonna have a couple fights here. You're gonna have Somalia. You're gonna have Nigeria. They're gonna root out any what they consider Islamic fundamentalist groups continent wide. They're just sweeping. They're gonna sweep down it like wildfire. Now they're making such a big hassle for the puppet government in Nigeria, which, let's not mince words, they're bought and paid for by big oil because the entire country's exports are oil. So, yeah, man, it's going to become an insurrection, a civil war type thing. More things to fuel the military industrial complex, just like this burgeoning Cold War we're about to get into.
Yeah, and let's not think that this Nigerian thing may not be connected, because we all know China's trying to make their moves into Africa as well. And the Western, the Europeans have been carving up Africa for centuries. And now China wants in on the action. So, and I wouldn't doubt if Russia was, you know, also playing a role here. I mean, I don't know who's backing these rebels, where they get their money from. I mean, they claim that they just steal from people and all this stuff. Of course, we're not going to get the full story. Now this thing's starting to go widespread on CNN. So now we're going to get a bunch of fluff, a bunch of half truths. And then, you know, we're going to see the media either use this as a distraction away from what's really going on with this whole thing with Ukraine and this whole Cold War hype, or we're looking at another excuse for these guys to go in and go full blown and start up another war in another country. I mean, either way we're looking at it, we need to support these people as individuals. Try to push or send your money over there to some people, organizations that are actually fighting to figure out what the hell's going on. Because it sounds like the government isn't really doing much over there in Nigeria. And so they're basically saying, well, then send the U.S. troops in. You know, that's what I hear, saw a lot of people talking about. No, we don't want to send U.S. troops in. Like you said, we already got some special forces over there. But it's a tragic situation, man. And sooner or later, we gotta, you know, these countries are going to have to take on these problems on their own, without having the U.S. come in and just start dropping bombs on people, because that never fixes anything.
Right. I mean, what's the solution for this? It's going to be like Tears of the Sun, where we're going to have to just overwhelm them with special forces and gut their leadership out. You can't take on an army without bringing in an army. And we just frankly do not have an army unless you talk about a drone army to throw at them. And maybe that will be what's next, is that Nigeria is going to agree to let us build all kinds of drone bases in there. And then we have Western Africa locked up, and we have that sphere, whereas we have Libya, or we had Libya for a minute there until the Benghazi thing. And then, it's AFRICOM. It's how do you make command and conquer type strategies and big bases and headquarters so you can gut this very, very lucrative natural resource base. It hasn't been touched. That and Latin America are still up for grabs, more or less.
Now, here's the other thing, man. And while at the same time I don't want to be a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist, at the same time I do want to just question the official story here real quick. By no means do I believe in this or not, but I just want to throw out the possibility that this whole thing could also be just another false flag, and that this whole thing is staged. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's what I think it's happening, but I'm not saying that that isn't what's happening either. So, you know, it's just another thing that I think that we should just keep an eye out for, because it is turning into this sensationalized thing, and it is turning into this CNN 24/7 coverage thing. And, I mean, that's just one thing I just want to be really careful about. Now, we got this first story I want to get into here, and it's kind of a good story, actually. And I think it also plays into, you know, the widespread consciousness shift that we're seeing. We're seeing polls where the majority of people want us to pull back from the Middle East. We're seeing massive amounts of people saying screw the government nowadays. We're seeing tomorrow I'm going to a rally that's against Obama that is going to be with progressive activists and Tea Party activists at the same rally against Obama. So I mean the barriers are slowly becoming, you know, broken down, which is good. Now here's some good news. We got 9 more states. We already got 21 states where we have legalized marijuana. Now, in 2014, 9 more states are looking like it's most likely going to become legalized. And let me just quickly go over these 9 states. If anybody wants to call in and talk about it, if you're in any of these states and talk about the grassroots efforts going on there, if you're part of it or whatever, feel free to chime in. Let me give you our phone number real quick. It's 718-717-8296. Feel free to chime in if you're in any of these states or if you're not in one of these states and you want to move to one of these states. Maryland is supposedly going to be decriminalizing marijuana. Florida, which I know that's a tough fought battle. I know my buddy is an activist down there in Florida, and they're out, you know, collecting a bunch of signatures and stuff and getting this thing pushed. Kentucky, which is kind of surprising, kind of not, because they are very conservative, but at the same time they're kind of libertarian leaning, and you know that's where Rand Paul is from, so you obviously got a little bit of people there that are like, you know what, yeah, I'm Christian, I don't believe in abortion and stuff, but who cares about weed, you know? And that,
well, they're very libertarian, they're socially conservative, which just more or less is because most of them are pretty religious Christian, so it's not like this big wow that Kentucky would have it. In fact, I believe that Rand Paul tried to get hemp cultivation legalized. They understand the cash crop. They understand that Kentucky bluegrass could become Kentucky green hemp, as in green, and everybody that grows it, they know that already. I think a guy said that there's like 4 or 5 states that could grow it so prodigiously, Tennessee and Virginia and other places, especially where tobacco grows, that we could convert it all into a fuel and be off of our petroleum imports.
Oh, man. And think of all the other products, too, man. Hemp milk. I was talking to somebody, LaVon, actually, our friend that hosts the Friday night show, same time as this show. She said that she gives her baby hemp milk, and the baby loves it. And it's great for them. It's just, and it doesn't got all the pesticides, because when you grow marijuana and hemp, you don't really need pesticides, because it's got mostly, when it's grown outdoors, it's resistant to most pests naturally. So, you know, it's a much healthier option than giving your baby formula or traditional milk, which is, unless it's organic raw milk, then it's going to be completely pumped with hormones, antibiotics, and an unnaturally high level of lactose, which would probably cause stomach issues for your baby or for your
kid. Well, it doesn't have to be raw, because then that means unpasteurized. It's really up to you, because it'll kill a lot of the cultures and proteins. So is raw better? Of course, but you have to make sure that you're getting it from a pretty sanitary source, and definitely not. From a guy who has like tons and tons of cows where he can't keep stalls completely immaculate. I mean, I would probably stay away from raw unless you know the farm you're getting it from. But
yeah, you gotta
get organic is the way to go. You can even taste the difference. It's creamy instead of milky, and there's a total difference. And if people try it, they'll be sold on it. I haven't gone back.
Yeah, people, you know, that's the thing. People that don't have any lactose issues, they can drink this organic pasteurized milk. People that have a lot of lactose problems, those people are actually able to drink milk as long as it's raw, because the pasteurization process is what releases a lot of this lactose.
Yep.
But that doesn't really matter if you're not lactose intolerant, so it's not
too exactly bad. Right. It's just hard to find raw, especially with them raiding every friggin' raw deli there is and going around and trying to shut down farms. It's really, really apparent what's going on now with the murder of the family farm in this country. Like, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for people to get that. I guess at some point when we have a food crisis, people will realize that now all the corporations own the food, and because the economy is destroyed, they're not going to give out their food for free. They'll just let you starve.
Michigan, the whole state just passed a new ordinance that basically removed the protections from anybody that was growing livestock in like these urban or like suburban areas.
Right.
So basically, you know how there started to be all these farms popping up in Detroit? Well, guess what? The government decided, I guess their economy's not bad enough as it is. They decided that they weren't going to give the protections. And then anyone that, if they get a complaint about anybody that has chickens, then guess what? Those chickens are done. You're going
to
take them out.
Oh, no. Well, genetically engineered chickens that don't cluck, then. That would be one good thing that freaking Monsanto could do for once. I mean, then we're not going to get, a problem with all these ninnies that think that this is going to be a system that provides perpetually for them, despite the fact that it's crumbling all around their blind asses.
Yep. fourth state that's legalizing marijuana is Minnesota, which is another kind of surprising one. Then we got Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Canadian border states, dude.
Yep. New York, West Virginia. That's a really surprising one as well. And then you got Wisconsin, which I'm surprised it wasn't already legal in Wisconsin.
Well, it is legal in Madison.
Let's move to Madison. No, I'm just kidding.
No, too cold for like 4 months. It's awful.
So, here's the thing, man, and we've talked about this before, about how this next generation coming up is going to be a bunch of weed-smoking, internet-indulging kids, you know, that are going to be this next generation of leaders and thinkers and entrepreneurs that are going to be raised on not the mainstream and not on this BS propaganda on this marijuana, because everyone knows marijuana makes you think a little differently. And well, I think that was the main reason why the government was so afraid of marijuana for so long, is because they were worried that everyone that smokes it is going to be against them.
Right. What it does is it spurs the free growth of neural synapses, and it's been shown. So when they say it's bad for kids, well, kind of, because like your brain will have this natural pattern that it wants to go in, and if you smoke too young, well, you can disrupt that. Is that going to make something happen bad with you? Who knows? So I love the 21 to keep it in line with alcohol. That's fine too, but when you're an adult, it actually reinvigorates your brain, and it's been shown. And it's also been shown that it can be used in concert with, like we touched on last time, with shrooms to more or less cure you, and then taking it to the next step, the spiritual level, ayahuasca. All these things can reprogram your brain and get rid of trauma and make new growth.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that is effective for children isn't necessarily the intoxicating form of marijuana. It's mostly the CBD, which is the stuff that doesn't have this drug induced high. It's kind of just the medical properties of marijuana that these guys have been able to extract. There were these brothers that were, I think they were working out of Oregon, and they've developed this marijuana that was just extremely high in the CBD stuff, and that it wasn't the THC. And I have a friend that uses that stuff, and she uses it to treat her anxiety, and it works really, really well. And she was on all these pharmaceuticals, man, and these things were just making her sick. And so, you know, she was formerly very, very against this stuff. She was from a conservative family and this, that, and the other thing. And even having members of her family in law enforcement, things like that. I don't want to get too specific, but she started using this stuff, and it completely turned her life around, man. Like she got rid of all this sickness from all these pills she was taking. She was on two or three different pharmaceuticals, and now she just has a vape pen, and whenever she's feeling a little anxiety, take a little vape, and she feels a lot better. And it's all natural, and it's not bad for you, you know, and it's vape.
Absolutely.
It's not, you're not smoking, you're not inhaling any carbon. It's pure vape. It's all, you know, it's all vapor and stuff. So it's not bad for you. And
so what it does, like on a physiological level, is that it gives your brain this extreme synaptic plasticity. So it can work around more or less these physical clumps that'll develop in a brain from major events, and they hold you back, man. They're like PTSD and stuff like that. It actually affects your brain, and it makes a weird wrinkle in it, man. Like a tree's trunk has like a weird ring in it if something happens to it, like a fire during that year. You know what I mean? And it can help you rearrange yourself from a level that can be seen if you were to do a do a anatomy check on somebody or whatever that's called. You know what I'm talking about? But it'll do that to you. They're starting to see that it opens up your endocannabinoid system, and that opens up this entirely different lymphatic system with different lipids and all these things that can more or less spur your immune system to new heights.
Yeah, man. And here's one thing I want to get into tonight. And it seems like this topic is at the top of the brain for a lot of the people I know, that these private conversations I've been having with people, and everybody's starting to worry about this antibiotic resistance epidemic that is coming. And believe me, it's coming, and it's going to come really hard. And yep. We're already seeing it with this MRSA, these MRSA infections and these flesh-eating bacteria. I know you saw that lady that the bacteria ate her face off.
Yep.
And she was just swimming in a lake. I mean, she had probably had a little cut on her face, and she was swimming in a lake or a river. And then next thing you know, half of her face is gone because this bacteria comes up that you can't kill. And the reason why it's thriving in this water is because we're using so much of these antibiotics. We pee them out, you know, when we go to the bathroom, we piss these things out. They end up down in the water supply. They end up at these treatment plants where these bugs are getting doused with all these antibiotics and all these antibacterial. And it's from the soap, the antibacterial soap. It ends up in these same treatment plants. And eventually there's going to be some bacteria that develop a way to be resistant to these antibacterials or to these antibiotics.
Well, it's here already. The superbug epidemic's hit already. Like, when we have reports of stuff like Ebola on the East Coast, that's indicative of the entire microscopic world. Like, things are bubbling up. They can keep it, you know, sterility. The great thing about living in our country and a lot of what I would like to say, quote-unquote, first world countries, is they're very sterile and they're very clean for the most part, and that really helps keep things at bay. But if there's a breakout, there's a breakout. And if it's something that's mutated to the point where nothing really works on it, well, then it's just going to claim whoever doesn't have natural resistance, just like the old days. And they've kept a lid on it for a long, long time. I'm actually quite impressed with modern medicine that there hasn't been another black plague in a long time with this many people. But one day the ugly head will rear. And that's why you're so right. You got to look at it from two levels. There's the pharmaceutical, scientific level, and then there's this plant that's billions of years old that we grew up co-evolving with, like almost every other higher life form on this planet, and it opens up an entirely different system that keeps you healthy.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing: most scientific, a lot of the scientific research done in this country is funded by the government. And I read a paper the other day on the state of things with this whole antibiotic resistance epidemic that's, you know, in the making right now. And it showed that only 1% of government funding for research, for pharmaceutical research, goes into looking into antibiotics and new forms of antibiotics. And apparently there hasn't been a new antibiotic invented in at least 30 years, which is completely insane. We've been relying on these same antibiotics for 30 years. We haven't made much progress on them at all. And they keep over prescribing these antibiotics. My girlfriend just got put on them, and the doctor didn't even do a test on her. He didn't even diagnose. All he said was, well, it can't be a virus, so we're just going to stick you on these antibiotics because it's got to be bacteria because your cough hasn't gone away yet. The guy didn't even do any tests, and he just said, here, just take these antibiotics. And that's the problem. They've been overusing these things like crazy. Like, any little thing you got here, try these antibiotics. Now, not only is that a problem because it's breeding these superbugs, it goes in there and it destroys all the beneficial bacteria that are in that's in your body. So a lot of people, I know a lot of people can probably attest to this. When you're on these antibiotics, a lot of times you end up getting diarrhea because the bugs that are in your stomach, that normal, the beneficial ones that help you extract the liquid from your food, they get torn down by these antibiotics, and then they don't do their job, and then guess what? Your food doesn't get digested correctly. So, right. I mean, that's just on the surface. Think about all – there's bacteria that help your brain function. There's bacteria that help your nerves function. I mean, the use of antibiotics, they just – either they don't know or they're just hiding the damage that it's really doing to us.
Right, and they're the old school way of thinking, because the new one's going to be designer – Nanobots, man, they'll just go and find things. This is the future for the elite, at least. They're not going to deal with this stuff that they come up with in the labs. They'll have things they grow specifically for them with no tissue rejection that just keeps them spotless and clean inside. And that's what's going to replace it for it if you have the money to do it. And it's going to be crazy when these superbug epidemics hit, and you're going to be able to tell who's wealthy enough to have the good stuff. They're not going to be affected whatsoever. And then there's going to be the time tested stuff that's going to actually probably provide a pretty good layer of defense. Olive leaf extract, chlorella, spirulina, you name it. Just go to a local trusted nutritionist and find out what would give you a shield. There's all kinds of things, radiation and viruses and all kinds of just bugs all over the place. And if you have this natural shield going built up in your system, you really don't get sick too much.
Yeah, man. And you know, here's another thing that a lot of people don't really talk about. And I know there's a huge debate going on right now with vaccines. I kind of land in the middle with this thing. I don't think all vaccines are bad. I do think parents should have everyone should have the right to choose whether they're going to take a vaccine or not. But here's the thing. Besides these antibiotics and stuff, these vaccines are also going to cause an increased level of mutation within these viruses that we're getting vaccinated against, just like we're seeing now with this polio having a resurge. Because what happens is when these viruses, man, they realize that they're being threatened and that they're like, damn, we only have a few living hosts left. So now we got to start mutating. I mean, of course, they don't have conscious thought. They just do that naturally. That's part of their nature. And these bugs, these viruses, they reproduce so often. Now, one virus can reproduce a million times in a day, and one bacteria can reproduce a million times in a few hours. So over these generational, multi-generational, millions of generations in a day, you're going to end up with mutations, and sooner or later you're going to end up where you're going to have a bad mutation. And that's kind of how they overblew this whole swine flu thing. The swine flu was real. They overblew it, yeah, but it's the same principle. It's a flu. It evolved, and then it became deadly when it was able to transfer over to humans.
You know, it was interesting when, you know, I hate to put her name out there, but Jenny McCarthy brought light to the fact that a lot of kooks are anti-vaccine, and that is being a kook to be anti-vaccine, because you have to understand why you are, not that you're against it as a principle, because in principle, it's great. As a result, it got rid of things like polio. That's great. But the problem is this. The problems happened in the 90s and the late 80s with the advances in GMOs. And GMOs got into the vaccines. And now the vaccines are completely littered with GMOs. GMO sources of all these different things and the chemical cocktail inside them. And what do you think that would do? Imagine what a food allergy does to somebody. And then you put that inside of them with GMOs. Just think about it. It's in your body now. It's a part of you. You can't get it out. It just basically changed you. And this is why these kids are getting these massive adverse diseases that follow them for life. Okay, in Europe and even in Canada, where they have strict, stringent requirements on purity standards, these things are not happening at this rate. This is an epidemic in countries where the GMOs have infiltrated their own vaccine supplies, and that's the proof is in the research.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's this just this toxic environment that we're building. We're setting ourselves up for a huge. Epidemic of these viruses that we've never seen before. I mean, the Black Plague was one thing. Plague things were big. But
what do you know? It's spurring mutation though, using GMO sources for vaccines that had been working, right? I mean, people say now that there's things coming back, like the measles and stuff's coming back because of the anti-vaccine movement. But how do they know that by using GMO vaccines, they hadn't mutated strains that were on the verge of extinction already? And now these are affecting everyone. See, they don't know. They can't tell until they actually get the data. And they are never going to release the data. This is not a money maker for the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, they only make about a dollar each. So we understand now that it's social engineering. That's all it is. There's things inside of them that are doing things. Okay, that's the only reason they would make them.
And you know, what we saw with the Black Plague is one thing. Now, that was before modern medicine came into play. Now, what we have now, due to modern medicine, I don't want to bash it, but we have a bunch of a gene pool that really doesn't have that much natural immunity. A lot of it is built upon vaccines and all these things. So when these diseases come back, they're gonna really come back with the rage, and we're talking about wiping out half the population, things like that. I mean, I wouldn't put it out of the picture that we can see that happen in the next 20 years, man. And it may not be our government being idiots that bring down the damn system. It could be just that we have overused these easy ways of treating these diseases instead of doing real prevention, like having a good diet and providing people with clean water and things like that, and not having so much standing water everywhere. Because let's face it, mosquitoes are one of the biggest ways of transferring these diseases, and rats and fleas and all these things. So, I mean, the real way of taking care and making the real effort to stop these things is not dropping a million vaccines on these poor kids in Africa. We should be dropping a hundred million gallons of water and getting them set up with sustainable ways to provide themselves with clean water and sanitation. I mean, that would go a lot farther than
you need to drop outhouses.
Yeah, man.
And piping. Just airmail a bunch of pipes and they can at least shoot it out into the ocean. I mean, something like. If there's one thing that seems to be a unifying trend of what we're talking about, it's that it's the purity of our food and our water, and yes, our vaccines and everything else. That the inundation of the meddling by maybe they had good intentions at first, and a lot of the times they probably had horrible ulterior motives. But everything is toxic now. That's what it's just coming. It's becoming very apparent, and the wealthiest will buy the toxicity out of it. Do you see how everything is toxic and you have to buy it out of your stuff now? And yeah. That's how they're filtering the human race out. You want to know how soft eugenics works and Depop works? There you go. Can you afford organic? Cool, you're going to be around. Can you not? You're not going to be. You're going to have cancer. You're going to become sterile.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's getting to that point. It's getting to the point now where surviving is becoming regressive, where the poor people just don't have as good of a chance of surviving. And it's been that way for a long time. And now it's just the problem is getting worse because the wealth inequality is getting much worse. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been as bad of wealth inequality as there is now, where 1,000 guys own literally almost all the wealth in the world.
85 own half of all money. They anticipate within the next 45 years we'll be the first trillionaire on paper, although we all know there's trust funds with north of 500 trillion in them that are documented. So, man, the wealth disparity is becoming to the point now where it's open season on the underclass. Anybody who's an underclass that can't afford to live the good life and is not contributing cog to the system will be weeded out. Using soft programs, man. They don't need to do anything crazy like start a revolution and get violence going. Although if that happens, they're ready. They'll just slowly but surely in another generation, you're going to have cancer-ridden, sterile people everywhere.
Yeah, and if you think back and look at what happened when the Europeans first got to America and what they did to what ended up happening to the Native Americans, we know that the Native Americans were killed by a lot more of them were killed by diseases that they had no immunity to than were killed by bullets. And I think, you know, we're going to see something kind of similar where the very, very rich are going to be able to afford to survive through these things, whether it be through these special vaccinations, or like you said, maybe in the future they have these nanobots that can swim through your blood and just go up and destroy these viruses. And I mean, we're going to run into this problem where all the poor people are going to get screwed once again. And what better way of destroying a population? Why would you want to go and have to deal with jailing everybody and controlling everybody and spying on everybody when you can just let essentially nature just take its toll, and right. It's the chances that it's going to happen are pretty great.
But you have to almost plead to the better angels of man, even those at the top who are
for the most part soulless, but still may have some shred of humanity left. What would this do to us as a species? Do you want to become an elite class stuck here forever inside your own prison? You'll never be allowed off planet. If you have a shred of logic inside of your mind, you already know that there's advanced, whatever they are, races, intelligences, way above us, that control us, that dictate how we evolve, that keep us inside of this lockbox, and that we can never get outside of it off planet if we don't unify together and evolve, because they won't trust us, whoever, whatever they are. You can't allow something so dangerous out if it's not ready to, you know, peacefully explore. And we need that Star Treknomics economy to come into play, and we have to have that wow moment where we all come together, and it can't be something like Bluebeam where we're under the control of the elite. We have to come out of our shell as a human race, and just everybody's got to be of this like mind and have this transcendence intellectually to get to the point where they realize this.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there, because I mean, we don't talk too much about aliens and stuff on this show, but I mean, just by the sheer numbers and the sheer probability, the size of the universe. I mean, come on, they're pretty close to finding life on Mars, and that's just like right there. So for there to be life outside of the solar system, that's probably, I mean, to me, that's like a given. And let's face it, if I was an alien and I came and I saw what humanity was at, like the state of humanity right now, I would not want these assholes going out into the universe, dude. I would not want these idiots going out there because of what they're doing to themselves right now. I mean, we can't even get past our own problems on this little tiny planet.
And
let
we're
alone...
coming to a precipice. We're coming to a precipice. If you read up on it, this event that's going to take place is the make or break event. Do we stay enslaved, or do we break our bonds? Do we free ourselves? Do we understand that energy is really free? That mind blowing concept, when I tell people that, they're like, how? I'm like, well, think about it, man. What if you had solar panels and a windmill? They're like, well, that's still not going to make enough. You're right. But did you know there's something called the electromagnetic sphere completely surrounding the Earth, and it's free energy for everyone forever? And that one guy figured it out, but then they like pretty much made him a pauper and look insane and stole all his papers. They're like, who's that? Nikola Tesla, really? Well, if you read into him, you understand that everything's an illusion right now, because we've had free power for over 150 years or so, and they've kept it from us, and we've been working for that power, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing we really look for. Everything else we could just build.
Yeah, exactly. That's the energy is really the way, the real grid, you know, because with enough energy, you can extract... You know, you could extract water from air. You could extract water from the sea. You could plow your fields with free energy.
Battery powered plow, battery powered tractor. You name it. It's not a question of can we can already. We just have to now.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to look up, there was recently released Tesla files from the FBI, from the Freedom of Information Act. If anybody wants to check those out, just go Google it, Freedom of Information Act, Nikola Tesla FBI files, and you'll be able to see the files right there, man. And the amount of scrambling that went on as soon as Tesla died by the FBI, and there's always been these rumors that the FBI went and took his stuff. And sure enough, man, I mean, these papers show you exactly the thought process that was going on. These guys were literally in an all-out scramble to go get his information, his inventions, and all of his technology.
And those papers were recently released to the UN in response to other governments complaining about how they were withholding technology and that there was going to be an energy crisis and an ecological breakdown. And they released the papers to the UN, but the UN is the elite class worldwide. They're just the lackeys of the elites here and in, you know, NATO, so to speak. So is it going to filter down to the regular Joes? Absolutely not. What they're going to do is they're going to have this unlimited power base, and then they're going to carbon tax the living bejesus out of everybody else at the bottom rungs and make it so hard and impossible to afford anything that you're going to spend all your money just getting your power.
Yeah, man, which is why I'm thankful for this open source stuff. I just saw a Tesla, what was it called? A Tesla quantum generator, open source. The blueprints are out there. You guys can Google that too. The blueprints are there. I mean, of course, you got to have some, you know, you got to be an electrical engineer to understand the schematics on this stuff. But I mean, these guys are putting the information out because what Tesla was able to invent on his own, now it's taken the hive mind about 100 more years. That just shows you how brilliant Tesla was. But you know, the hive, the open source, the everybody working on these ideas, it's finally coming to fruition, and these ideas are starting to come into play. Now, if we let the government take it over and then take over all control over the unlimited power for everybody out of safety or out of national security, whichever they're going to blame it on, you know it's going to be one of the two, then that's really, really dumb. Because then we're not getting off the grid. We're just going to a new form of electricity, and we're staying stuck on the grid. But if we do this thing open source and we do it at the individual, family, and community level, then we're talking about like a whole new paradigm coming into play. And we're already seeing it go on with solar. There's a lot of these community co-op solar generating stations going up all around the country now, and there's a big movement.
I want somebody to just build like an Argonite pyramid with like a positive, you know, magnetic pole, and then somebody else build, I don't know, like an onyx obelisk with a negative, you know, magnetic coil on the bottom, electrify both, but put a big pool of water in between them and see if they can start a sphere and see if everybody's iPods and crap just power up standing inside of it and make sure that we have free energy and show it to the world.
How awesome would that be, man?
I mean, it would cost probably, I don't know, like $1 million for all that materials, but I bet somebody could do it somewhere and then just put it out.
I mean, that's what it's going to take, is people experimenting and going out on a limb and putting these ideas into play. Because if not, I mean, we're never going to progress. We got to start taking chances, taking risks, and we got to start crowdfunding, because we don't want to have the government funding this stuff, because then they take over ownership of it, or they take control of it, or they co-opt it, they control it, whatever. And I mean, that's what they're doing now. We talked about it on the last show, this Tor with the Tor project, which is the dark internet thing. It's government created, all these NSA proof things, government funded. I mean, these guys are literally just controlling the opposition every single turn, and they got the money to do it. And these idiots that are making these companies are starting up these great ideas. They're selling out, and that's a big problem. You're creating an open source idea, and then you're selling out to the government. Come on, dude, what are you doing? You know, so, you know, it's going to take another consciousness shift in the business side of things, too, because, yeah, everybody's got to make money. Everybody's got to eat in this current system. So we got to find some kind of way to crowdfund this research, crowdfund, slush fund for research to be done, and so that we can break away from this government-funded research, which is not independent, and then anything that comes out of it can be shut down or disappeared, or it just gets co-opted. And it turns into Facebook, you know what I mean?
Or they do what they do, like they do with the United We Stand Festival, which, by the way, is going to have to be relocated now because of pressure put on UCLA to move it. We all knew, everybody kind of knew that was going to happen, right? I mean, we can see that happening, that the pressure's coming down now, because this is a group of people that are actually leadership going back to other communities, especially on the West Coast. If we start something down here, it will spread like wildfire. If we get little community gardens going with solar panels and all these other groundbreaking ideas we've been talking about, and just get enough people to throw just a little bit of money, LA is swimming in it. We're going to meet people with big-time money. They'll throw just a little bit of pocket change and get things going, and it's going to change everything to the whole co-op we wanted. But, see, they tried to co-op it, and I think the organizers realized, you know, we're not going to give into these whatever the demands were, right? And something's going to change now here.
Yeah, man. They pulled the venue, even though the payment was sent and all that stuff. Now the event's not canceled. They're just moving it. It may still be in UCLA. It may be somewhere else, but it's still going to happen. So they're just trying to figure out the final deets on it and stuff. We're going to try to have someone on from the United We Stand Fest tonight, but they're just so busy with this whole venue thing that I didn't even really bother asking them, just because I knew they were so busy with it. But it's going to be a huge event, man. It's bringing together Wu-Tang, Immortal Technique, all these awesome, awesome artists and thinkers, activists, media personalities, and even Larry King's going to be there, which is pretty funny. And that's the thing, man. I mean, you can't help but wonder if UCLA did this because it was politically becoming uncomfortable for them, or maybe possibly jeopardizing some of their funding. Because we all know that most of these schools are government funded. So, yeah, I mean, there's probably a big question of conflict of interest there. And they don't like seeing people breaking down these left-right barriers and bringing people together, because everyone's, you know, they want you to fit into this, hey, are you Republican or are you Democrat? And we don't even mention anything else because everything else doesn't matter, you know. And that's kind of the personality, that's kind of the agenda that's been put out there. And anyone that tries to challenge it, for instance, like a Ron Paul or whatever, you see how they get treated by the media, by the establishment. You know, they try to silence you, they fight you, try to silence you, and then, you know, eventually, like the saying goes, eventually you win, because you can't put these ideas down. You can't just remove the venue and then expect the idea to go away. Right. I mean, the thing is happening regardless. The ideas are there. It's not that it's not the venue that makes it. It's the ideas and the people.
Well, I mean, I can already tell you right now that just from some really cursory research, I can already connect the dots kind of where UCLA might have got pressured by a big, you know, a guy who donates a lot, and then he's connected with our current president. So it's not too hard to see where that might have rubbed someone the wrong way, especially something getting so big and pulling so many, you know, let's face it, they're on the right side for the most part, a lot of these people, even if they are libertarian. And I always consider libertarians so far to the right, they're back on the left. But, you know, yeah, it's probably rubbing the wrong people the wrong way, who's given a hell of a lot of money to UCLA, and they probably just flex their muscles.
Well, anyone listening that is planning on going to this thing, just keep an eye on our page. We'll post updates as soon as the new venue gets finalized and all that stuff. And I actually saw the venue they're looking at right now. It's nice. It's outdoors. It's still on UCLA, but it's a smaller venue. But it's outdoors too, which actually, honestly, I kind of like better. And it's cool that it's still at UCLA. But yeah, keep an eye on the Anti-Media Facebook page, and we'll post updates on it if you guys are in LA or if you're planning on heading out there, either way. Now, kind of back to where we were at with this whole debate on the superbugs and the vaccines and the antibiotics. There's a cool development that I saw yesterday, and we posted this on the Anti-Media this morning, about this 3D printer out of China. This inventor came up with this huge 3D printer out of China, and mind you, the printer itself is kind of like the size of a warehouse, but this guy was able to print 10 houses in 24 hours. Complete for $5,000 each. I mean, and this is huge. And this goes back to this debate about how preventing these diseases are, I think, more important than trying to vaccinate against them or pump out these antibiotics. And this could be revolutionary, man. And this 3D technology is kind of flying under the radar, especially in the mainstream. The mainstream tends to ignore it just because it's so dangerous when it comes to the manufacturing and the whole business establishment. Walmart, I mean, all these guys can get put out of business if 3D printing technology gets efficient, as it will be. You know, it's going to get to that point very, very soon, maybe in the next 5 years. I mean, there's already some really efficient 3D printers out there that people can actually buy like it's a damn TV now. It's pretty cheap. But as this stuff gets more advanced and they refine these practices and get it cheaper, we're going to see 3D printing start to revolutionize the economy at just as much, if not more, than what the internet has done to the economy. And this thing with 3D printing these houses is awesome, man. And the guy, the inventor, he 3D printed a 10,000 square meter warehouse, which means it's about almost 30,000 square feet warehouse, which is pretty damn huge, if I may say. He constructed his whole warehouse in 1 month with this 3D printer.
Wow.
30,000 square feet.
Construction's about to be thrown for a loop, because prefab houses now will be able to be shipped for, I don't know, $5,000, built from $5,000, outfitted and put together for another $5,000 on site and sold for $25,000. I mean, you can get a brand new house now for $25,000 potentially. So home ownership will be within reach of everyone, believe it or not, which is kind of a crazy notion, thanks for technology. And something even more crazy came out today, which was, you know, they created a living organism out of artificial DNA, and in essence, they did what they said they would always try to do, which is genetic printing. And you can be sure that there'll be over-the-counter pills for just about any kind of physical alteration you want to do over a long period of time. Like, I don't know, change your eye color or maybe get a bigger member or something like that. These will be pills you now swallow. Sure, there'll be a lot at first, but some things can't wait.
Yeah, it's almost like this hormone therapy they're already doing for people.
Yep. Now it's amino acid therapy.
Now, we got some Orwellian stuff coming out of John McCain's mouth, and God, when I posted this thing, you wouldn't believe unless you guys actually saw it. How many people were like, "Why won't this guy just die already?" I mean, I must have had 50 comments.
Do they put a brain chip in him? Because are they controlling him like remotely? Like it doesn't look like he's in charge anymore. Him and Biden, brain scan Biden. I think they both put chips in him, man, and they put him in the cerebral cortex area. I don't think they're in charge when they're up on the pulpit.
Biden's a total buffoon. Look at John Kerry. I mean, the guy's a total buffoon.
I think they're all chip, man. Like, it's required.
I know.
You can't let the mouthpiece do stupid talking. Yeah, well, in this case.
Obama is like the biggest troll ever, and he just says stuff that are completely opposite of what he does. And then, you know, this whole thing with Kerry saying that we're tired, we can't have Russia go in and just assert their flex their military might over asserting their economic interests, which is exactly what we did in Iraq. I mean, I don't know if these guys just have a really short memory, or they just want to troll everybody, or if they're just trying to bait us out to see who's going to not fall for it. But apparently, John McCain, and this is out of the anti-media from our new writer, Justin King, which is an awesome, awesome journalist. I'm really lucky to have him on board with us. Apparently, John McCain was on somebody's TV show, and the guy started asking him about these racist remarks that were coming down the pipeline from this guy that owns the Clippers. I forget his name now. But anyway, John McCain takes this question and he spins it into saying, see, that's why we need more NSA surveillance so we can catch people like this. I mean, it's like he's trying to push for NSA spying over this.
You mean to tell me that we need to have a anal microchip that's going to be attached to our throat box, John McCain? Is that what you're telling us? How would they be able to have caught him any other way than the way that she did it? And besides, do I really care? I mean, honestly, this guy should have been out when allegations were made years ago when they made an investigation into it, which they didn't, under David Stern. Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe they were butt buddies for all I know, but they just never got around to it because of whatever dirty dealings happened. And then finally this guy Silver got in and he made it happen. But the fact is we don't need to have surveillance on everyone. There already is on everything all the time. So what are they going to do, probe you and put something in you? I mean, McCain is just – I don't know how Arizona keeps vote. I guess they just don't vote him in. He just gets in by default now at this point.
Probably the same way how John Boehner just won his primary. So John Boehner's probably going to be back in Congress again, even though nobody likes him. I mean, even the establishment Republicans don't really like the guy. But, I mean, these guys just keep being reelected, and they've got a huge – mostly these establishment dudes like McCain, Boehner, all these guys, they've got these huge, huge war chests, millions and millions, and they're able to outspend the people trying to challenge them tenfold. And, of course, if you can blanket the TV and you could blanket the radio with all these ads, then you're probably going to win. And you're able to
– I say you vote with your social on your cell phone. Each vote is counted as 10, and no more polling stations at all. That'll more or less get rid of the fake democracy action we have. Go to a real popular vote, and then the Electoral College can be wiped out, and we'll just go to that. We'll have rule of the majority, and people can see what it's like to have the tyranny of the majority since we're so close to it anyway.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of democracy. But in all reality, I think a direct democracy would be better than what the crap is that we have now, which is just pure oligarchy. Because now we just have basically no say, no matter who you vote for. All my Democrat friends say they didn't vote for Dianne Feinstein. She's still
nobody won. Does. Nobody votes, but that's the thing. But if my vote counted for 10 and I could, like, put in whoever, and then, like, say Colbert went on and he's all, hey, everyone, get in your phones, vote for me. And he started some multimedia campaign and he got in kind of like, you know, on a whim. That would change everything. That would shake everything up. People could start voting in on popularity, anyone, not just these establishment fools.
Yeah, and if you know anything about the electoral process, I mean, it's like a complete, complete clusterfuck. In order to navigate this thing, that's why you don't really see hardly any independents running, let alone winning. It's because they make it almost impossible for anybody to run. In California, they have this thing, I forget what it's called, but it's like this top two thing. So no matter what party you're in, the people that get the two people that get the most votes end up being the only ones that get to run for the actual office. We're talking about the primaries. So if you're an independent and you're not able to spend enough money to register in the top two in the primary, because let's face it, the top two in the primary are probably going to be Republican and Democrat. Then guess what? You can't run, dude. So it's a total fallacy. We do not have a democracy at all. Far from it. It's not even a republic, and I don't really like either one of them particularly, just because they've failed over and over again. But oligarchy is even worse, and that's what we're stuck with now. So I'd be all for having a vote by app, pure popular vote, direct democracy. I would love that better than what we've got now, because now what we have now is not very good for anybody.
No, it's not, and it's leading to insane things going on. Like, remember what we talked about the last show about how there was this push to split our state into six mini states, and I had thought it might maybe been a bill that some, you know, overreaching congressman had passed, and come to find it's a private venture capitalist Tim Draper spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to pay people to go out and I actually talked to a guy on the street, and he said, you know, I don't even want this to be split into six states. I just get paid a dollar a signature. All right, this is what's going on. This is the kind of money being moved. A dollar a signature means this guy is making buku bucks standing in front of Sprouts, getting morons to sign this thing. And it went through, and now it's going to go on to a vote in the House, and then it'll go on to the Senate. Will it pass? Well, if enough money is being thrown at people on the street, how many millions do you think are going to be thrown at these kooks? So, yeah, this will go to a vote at some point, and they want to split it into all these crazy states. And, I mean, what's that going to do? I have no idea, but it can't be good.
Well, if it's a venture capitalist pushing the idea,
then it's not good.
Yeah, it's probably not good.
It's not good. I mean, you're going to see probably astronomical taxes on the coastal communities, so to speak.
Like, I don't want to see a bunch of smaller states. I want to see the federal government gone, and I want to see the communities being autonomous. I don't want to be run by the state even. But, I mean, I'd rather be run by the state than the Fed, but either way, it's still statism when it comes down to it, you know? I got this other story at the anti-media as well, and this one's pretty – I mean, it's ironic, but you know, North Korea is always coming out with this insane propaganda about the U.S., and they've got their own internal propaganda, and of course we've got our own propaganda. In fact, the Voice of America is officially set to become a propaganda machine for the U.S. We talked about that on Monday. You guys can check out the archives if you ever want to go back to our old shows too. We talked about – how the U.S. government is establishing a propaganda machine. The 2013, I believe, it was either 2012, 2013 NDAA basically removed the ban on government propaganda. So, you know, you got NPR, C-SPAN, all these guys, Voice of America, all these government-funded, you know, outlets that are now going to start pushing even harder in the neoconservative direction, neoliberal, neoconservative foreign policy, neoliberal domestic policy, where it's just complete welfareism, welfare state, tax the hell out of everybody, and then filter it through a bureaucracy. You know the deal. If you guys want to check that out, check out the last show in the archive. But apparently, North Korea put out this anti-U.S. propaganda. And the problem is with this propaganda they put out to make us look bad is that a lot of the numbers that they put out actually underestimated how bad we are and undercut how really effed up this country has become. For instance, they're putting out numbers on unemployment and all the people in poverty, and one of our journalists went and did an analysis of it, and it showed that they were actually underestimating how messed up this country is. That's one thing to think about, man. This propaganda that they're putting out about us overseas, these people that don't like us, a lot of this stuff is true because our country is in really bad shape. And it's up to us to individually create the change in our lives. Yo, here we go.